This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Nally. Our guest this week is Neil Caskey, CEO of the National Corn Growers Association. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by the Modern Ag Alliance. Learn more at controlweedsnotfarming.com. AgriPulse continues with Corn Growers CEO Neil Caskey next. Trial lawyers are using a discredited report from a World Health Organization subagency to attack a safe, American-made weed-fighting tool. This tool helps keep your food costs down, and without it, food inflation could double. Stand with American farmers and keep trial lawyers' greed out of our farms and food supply. Fight back at controlweedsnotfarming.com. Paid for by the Modern Ag Alliance. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. Commodity organizations applauded new farm and tax policy proposals last week in the House Reconciliation Bill. The mood was spoiled somewhat by the MAHA Commission report released from the White House. Neil Caskey, CEO of the National Corn Growers Association, said corn farmers see a number of challenges with the commission's findings.
There are three things that really kind of stood out to us. I mean, one, it really just ignores decades of established science on safe products like glyphosate and atrazine. The second part is in the study, it seemed to open the door for further regulation beyond, what is currently required by law at EPA. And I think third, and this is probably the biggest concern that we raised, and I know that many other groups did as well, Jeff, and it's that they constructed this report that touched on many ends of agriculture without talking to any agricultural constituents. And so I think that's what troubles us the most. And I know that this is, if you look at this report as maybe, or at least they do, as the diagnosis of a problem, and they're looking ahead to the actual prescription that will come in a form of a policy strategy in August. I'm hopeful that they will involve some of the stakeholders that are implicated, like farmers, as we move towards that August date.
The MAHA Commission includes the Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke Rollins, and includes the Administrator of the EPA, Lee Zeldin. Yet in this report, two pesticides are identified. The two products that are mentioned have not just been registered once, but have been re-registered over decades through the EPA, yet this commission throws shade at EPA. The report draws challenges toward USDA programs, including crop insurance that's administered through the Department of Agriculture. I question what role the administrator and the secretary had in the final outcome of this report.
That's a fair question. I certainly don't know the answer to that, but I do know that, any decision related to the registration and approval of these crop protection products always has been and always should be within EPA. And so I think it's wrong for a commission, like this to impose additional restrictions, potentially, a ban on safe products like glyphosate and atrazine when it is clearly outside of their jurisdiction. I think the same is true for USDA. And so if there are, we are obviously still fighting for a farm bill. And so, and hopefully we will prevail at some level. And I would sure hate to see any of that hard work unravel because of the work of this commission. And so back to your question, I don't know who was involved in the construction of this report. Obviously, it was a priority of RFK Jr. and we knew that going in, and so I know that Callie Means was the author of this initial assessment, that diagnosis, if you will. Who he involved along the way is a mystery to me.
We talked to the American Farm Bureau Federation this week. Sam Kiefer mentioned that perhaps this report was based on innuendo than it was on sound science. AgriPulse reported this week there was a letter from over 300 members of the commission, including 30 farmers, that basically suggested to the Congress ignore the call for sound science and go with the commission report.
Yeah, we lose that, and we lose the credibility to grow food. And so, you know, just the fear-based nature of this whole thing. I mean, if the purpose is to deliver a healthier society at the end of the day, you know, if we continue to throw shade on the regulatory agencies that are delivering, you know, those assurances and digging into the science of the various products, you know, if all of us are questioning whether we can believe in their good work and the science that it stands on, then, I mean, the net effect could be like we're going to be eating a lot less, fewer, healthier foods. And I don't think anyone wants that.
So when we think of this report, and I'm staying with the Maha Commission report, a particular attack at ultra-processed foods and also added sugars, including vegetable oils. So all three of those fall under the auspices of agriculture and certainly corn and byproducts of corn.
Anything in moderation is fine. And so a sugar is a sugar is a sugar. And so it's puzzling, you know, to demonize these products, you know, these farm products, you know, in the way that the report does is really troubling. And so, you know, on one end, we're potentially getting squeezed on the crop protection side, and then, you know, the products that ultimately come from the farm are being questioned as safe as well. Again, I mean, all it's doing is stirring up fear in the way that we produce food in this country. And you know, we are blessed with the safest and most abundant supply of food in the world. I mean, any other country would love to be in our situation. Just to unnecessarily create and fear about any of that is just a real head scratcher and unfortunate.
If the government has approved crop protection products that are not safe and knew that they were not safe, this is the biggest cover-up that agriculture and the country has ever seen. But yet it's also a challenge if these products that are approved by science, replicated science, are safe. It's a shame to see that they are challenged.
It is. If you look at glyphosate, you know, you look at atrazine, I mean, those products have been around for decades, and they have been proven safe by countless studies and countless regulatory agencies. And to continue to hold those two critical crop protection products up as suspect is wrong. And I mean, like you think about, you know, where we are right now, obviously we got, crops in the ground or going in the ground, and obviously, you know, we got to care for that crop as we head towards harvest. And so, the worry about weather, you know, worry about markets and everything in between. And the last thing that a farmer needs to, you know, stack on top of that is concerned about, you know, how they're going to be able to cultivate their crops over the growing season. And so it's unfortunate.
Neil, moving forward, the two pesticides mentioned, what happens if you take away glyphosate and atrazine and others similar in crop protection? What does that mean for the country? What does that mean for farmers? What does it mean for consumers and food?
It's going to make growing a crop a lot more difficult. At a minimum, at best, it's just going to add a lot more cost to how we grow corn in this country, and at worst, you know, we could end up, importing a lot more food from countries that don't have, you know, the same rigorous regulatory approval processes for for their products that we have. And I don't think that's an outcome that anyone wants.
If agriculture wasn't included in the writing of this report, what do you hope moving forward as perhaps policy is considered? And what would you hope of Congress?
We're hopeful that as we, you know, we have the study and we've obviously expressed our concerns with it, as have others. And we're looking ahead to the policy and regulatory strategy, prescription, if you will. And so I sure hope that there will be a place at the table for organizations like ours and others that want to make sure that we do have a healthier country. And so, again, I kind of go back to the original intent, all for that. But when it has implications for how we grow corn, I think it's not an unreasonable expectation to ensure that corn farmers have a say in the construction of that strategy. And so I would hope that others in Congress that care about agriculture and care about how we grow food in this country would want to have the same type of voice. I don't know exactly how those policy recommendations will play out from there, but I'm hopeful that there will be a very robust stakeholder engagement process between now and August when that next recommendation is supposed to come out from the Maha Commission.
In the wee hours, a budget reconciliation piece of legislation was approved in the lower chamber by a single vote. There are provisions in there for farm programs, including crop insurance and Title I and SNAP and the 45Z for renewable fuels. Does the fact that this reconciliation package includes these programs, does that mean Congress work is done on farm policy if this is all that's approved this year?
I hope not. And I think it sounds like, you know, we're you know, certainly pleased to see the work of the House this week. It's interesting that, you know, obviously, the big, beautiful bill was dominating the headlines up until it wasn't yesterday with this Maha Commission. I've traveled all over the country the last few weeks and visited many farms from Nebraska, where it's really dry. I was in Kentucky, your neck of the woods, actually, this past week, where, as you know, it's been pretty wet. And at the end of the day, we're going to have a really, really big crop, about 95 million acres of corn, if USDA is right. And so, there's the two things that I hear from our growers is, they want a safety net, and they want markets. And so, the big, beautiful bill, I guess, act, I should add, at the end now, does, kind of addresses, both those elements. And so, was pleased with, obviously the components of the farm bill that was, included in there. Obviously some concerns, the price floor, that corn has, and it didn't include a mandatory base acre update. But by and large, pleased to see that progress. I think there's still more work to be done, in the Senate, on this as well. So I think we're still a long ways from having our work completed on a farm bill. And depending on, what the Senate is able to include in their version of the big, beautiful bill, it seems like there's still going to be work to be done on the remaining components of a farm bill. And I'm hopeful that that we will be able to complete that work. I mean, I think that is, the concern that we have raised with how this farm bill came together is, historically, Jeff, it's always been a very bipartisan process. And obviously kind of fell apart this year. We're hopeful that, that doesn't have any implications for future farm bills or even the work that remains, this year. But our preference on all our priorities is that they are done in a bipartisan manner, and it's concerning when that kind of falls by the wayside. But all that aside, you know, we're very, very pleased to see the tax provisions from President Trump's tax bill in 2017. See those extended. That's important to farmers and just the broader U.S. economy. And obviously there's a lot in there from 45Z, which I don't think any of us would have predicted at the beginning of the year that 45Z would even be a topic of conversation at this stage in the game. And so, you know, pleasantly surprised to see that. I mean, that from a market standpoint, I know it's going to be further off, but it can do for the next generation of farmers what the RFS has done for the current one. Still trying to find opportunities, Jeff, to include year-round nationwide E15 in the budget reconciliation bill. So that's got some challenges, but obviously our priority is finding a solution for year-round E15 this year.
So the extension of 45Z through 2031, not perhaps as long as many hoped for, especially for the development of the sustainable aviation fuel market, but the fact that there is an extension, add that to what the EPA might say under the RFS with RVOs. What's the best that you can hope for between legislation and new regulation?
Well, I mean, I'm hoping to see positive signals from the administration, obviously from the Congress on biofuel production. And I will say that there's a lot of, you know, I just look at E15 and the response that we've seen from Capitol Hill on solving that problem, from the White House on solving that problem. And that is a really strong signal to me that they want to see a thriving biofuel market. I know that obviously the president wants to unleash American energy dominance. You can't do that without ethanol. And so we had President Trump, as you'll recall, back in 2019, you know, he delivered on E15, was overturned in the courts, and you know, we've been battling ever since. And so we are seeing strong signals on ethanol, and I know the RVO numbers will come out next week. Very grateful for the supporters in Congress that have fought to retain 45Z and see it as a real asset for the country, and we're hopeful that it is retained in the final bill as well.
When I've had the opportunity to talk to your president, Kenneth Hartman from Illinois, he echoes the statement again and again, Jeff, we just need demand. So the president during Commodity Classic said and told farmers to prepare to produce more for the domestic market. Neil, where can the domestic market grow other than renewable fuel?
Obviously, the trade situation is unsettled. And, you know, we've seen a little bit of encouraging news on UK a couple weeks ago. But at the end of the day, if we are going to be successful as a American, you know, corn industry, we're going to have a thriving domestic biofuel industry. And so the one lever that Congress can pull to deliver on that is by passing year-round nationwide E15. That is step one. Beyond that, we're going to need, we're looking at developing an octane standard that will require auto manufacturers to build more efficient cars that run on higher ethanol blends. In the near term, you know, that we're looking at kind of that 7 to 10 year window, which will continue to drive demand for corn there, and then longer term, that's where sustainable aviation fuel really begins to come into play, and driving kind of that long term demand, you know, beyond 10 years.
Neil, there are varied opinions about the White House trade policy. There are those who absolutely are opposed to the present use of tariffs. There are those that are 100% in support. But even those in the middle are suggesting perhaps that this president needs some time to be able to let the negotiations play out. Corn growers need export demand. So where do you stand in your opinion of what the White House tactics have been thus far?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, I think, you know, they're going to need some time and space to hammer it all out. You know, we have been encouraged, was it a week ago, 2 weeks ago, where the president announced a deal with the UK, where an ethanol and beef were, you know, two of the only product categories mentioned in that trade deal. And, you know, that was very encouraging, to us. You know, we've been asking for, you know, access, you know, for, for ethanol sales into the UK for some time. And we're really delighted to hear, you know, both ethanol and beef. Obviously you can't raise cattle without corn. And so that was very encouraging there. There's been a lot of, focus from the administration on India. And, you know, you just think about how massive that market is. And, you know, if we can improve market access to India, you know, we could sell $750 million worth of product in year one. And obviously that's going to scale up, exponentially, if we have the right deal in a market like India. And so, we believe that the president was clear, I guess, during the campaign and certainly after that, you know, that he wanted to address many of the trade imbalances that are, making us uncompetitive. And so, you know, we support, you know, giving him the space. We want to see deals, though soon. And so, so hopefully there'll be more announcements like we heard, from them on the UK that include, you know, corn in some form, in the near future. I think the more we start hearing about that, the more comfortable, we'll all be. I mean, obviously, you know, farmers right now, Jeff, as you know, I mean, they're in, you know, planting and growing mode. And
when I've talked to other analysts about the trade situation, they say obviously most critical for our neighbors, Canada for one, but especially for Mexico, to be able to ride out this storm, but keep relations with those two on an even keel.
Yeah, and there's no greater market for us than Mexico, and we're thankful that actually sales to Mexico are on pace for a record year, and so that relationship remains strong, and certainly, you know, we are watching Mexico closely, you know, Canada buys a whole heck of a lot of product as well, and so thankful that, you know, there's been an exemption, a USMCA exemption, I guess, if you will, that has allowed those sales to continue unimpeded, I mean, those are very valuable next door neighbor markets.
Well, Neil Caskey, we want to thank you very much for taking time to be with us on this edition of Open Mic. No shortage of issues in the industry. You've been here before. You know that today, sir, you have the last word.
Well, thanks, Jeff, and it's always a delight to talk with you. We appreciate all you do to advocate on behalf of the American farmer, and I guess I just want them to know that we do the same thing, and we are here to make sure that they will continue to have access to the crop protection tools that they need to grow the crops on their farms, and more specifically, you know, to corn. I want them to just know that we are here growing markets for them, and that's our highest priority. And getting E15 done this year is going to be a real high priority for us. So we are looking forward to finally getting that one done, hopefully soon, Jeff.
Our thanks to Neil Caskey, CEO of the National Corn Growers Association, our guest this week on Open Mic. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by the Modern Ag Alliance. Learn more at controlweedsnotfarming.com. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Daly.